Thank you, Shani. Yes, we are kind of related now. Strange. Wow. That's great. Well, it's great to see all of you. I know it's been a while since I've been here. I've been kind of traveling around a bit this summer, and it's nice to finally be back home and having a Sabbath with all of you in Seattle. It's just really fantastic to be here, and just really nice to see all your smiling faces again. Well, today, I'd really like to talk about one of the things I love about church. And just the family that we have here. Because, you know, I think it's very interesting and unique what we have. You know, we can look around this room and we can see people, and we come from so many different backgrounds, so many different places. We all have different stories, we have different personalities, different interests. You know, we might see some people that, you know, we're friends with now and just think, you know, really? Like, I never would have met this person had it not been for the church. Never. But we have. We have met these people, and they have come into our lives. And that's a beautiful thing. And the reason that we're all here is because of what we believe. It's the belief structure that we have, and that unifies us. It brings us together. We're all different, we're all unique, but we come together to form this church, to form this body. Today, I'd like to talk a little about this unity, this togetherness, and hopefully I can make a few points that we can hopefully deepen that and strengthen that unity that we have for one another. And we can do that through our relationships with one another and our relationship with God and Christ. So what does it mean to be unified? To really be unified, to be together. It's that one unit. It's the taking of various different components and bringing them together to form something. It's everything coming together. If you look up together, one of the things it says is to be in harmony or accord. And I find this very interesting, especially in the context of the church, and we look around and we see all these different people coming together, and that's what we are. We're in harmony. We're all different, we're all unique, but we come together. When we were singing these hymns right before church, if you just listen to the music, it's just absolutely beautiful. But if you listen, the notes that are being played, they're all separate. They're all different, they're all unique. You bring them all together, and it's absolutely beautiful. And that's what we have here. We have that beautiful music. That's what we form. And we form this because we are the body of Christ. And we all have that common goal of the kingdom of God. So let's look at a few scriptures here that show this unity of the church and us being a part of that body of Christ. Let's first turn over to Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 4. Romans chapter 12. It's really just a great chapter in Romans, one I always really enjoy, just talking about the perfections of the Christian life and how we can get there. But it starts out in verse 4 talking about what we're talking about here, the various members here. It says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members have one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to our proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do so with simplicity, that he ruleth with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness." So it's showing these different people and these different people in the church and how we all have these different gifts, but we're all part of that one body. You can also look over in 1 Corinthians 12, and it goes into much more detail about the different members, how it talks about how, like, you have a hand and the eye, and no part of it is more important than the other. There shouldn't be a schism in the body, that we are all united. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read some scriptures here that also tie in, showing this unity that we have. It says, starting in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you," beseeches, he encourages us. He's not commanding us, he's beseeching us to do this. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I think that pretty much describes what we have here. I think that's fantastic. But it's also, I think it's very interesting in verse 3 that it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring. It's an earnest attempt. It's something we have to put forth an effort in. We really have to strive to do this. It doesn't always come natural to us. We have to strive to have that unity of the Spirit. And it brings that bond of peace. And something that I think all of us really desires, to have peace in our lives. So we can see through looking at these scriptures that we are all of the same body, the body of Christ, and God wants us to be unified. He's exhorting us to do so. So how can we do this? How can we become even more unified? The first thing we can do is really just take the time to get to know one another. We have a fantastic opportunity here. We come together every Sabbath where we can just go up and talk to people. And we know we're talking to people of like minds, where we can really just spend the time to get to know them, find out what's going on in their life, and share those things that unite us and bring us together, and talk about those beliefs and the things that we're going through in our lives. If we can do that, it's going to bring us even closer together. So we really need to take advantage of the time that we have together. And one of the ways that we can do that is found in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. You turn over there, we'll look at this. James 5, verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It says to confess your faults to one another. That's a level of honesty there. It's being open with one another, and it's not just going out and telling everybody, oh, I did this and this. It's that open communication where you can actually really share what's going on in your life and be open to talk to somebody about it so they can help you, so you can pray for one another, so you can help each other grow. It's done out of an attitude of love and caring and just really looking for help and to help others. And really, how can you pray for somebody if you don't know what's going on in their lives? We have to be open with each other. We have to have that in our lives. And how can we really grow unless we're sharing and trying to grow together? The other thing we can do with this, is, which is what this is doing, is supporting one another. It's a form of support to help each other grow. One of my favorite scriptures when it comes to the idea of support is found in Ecclesiastes, which is Ecclesiastes 4, and, verse 9, if you'll turn there. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, this is, whenever I had the opportunity to work at camp, I always talk to my guys in my dorm about this because it just, to me, paints such a vivid picture of what we're supposed to do supporting one another. It says, verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but one cannot be warm alone. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I mean, that's, to me, that's such a wonderful example. You look at a rope, and you look at it, and it's big and thick and so strong, it can hold so much weight, but it's woven together with individual strands. And that's what we have in this room. We have all of those individual strands that come together to form that very strong cord, that bond, and it's all unified in our relationship with Christ and God. And when we have this unity, it's an absolutely beautiful thing. Shaney mentioned last week, or the last weekend, we were at a wedding, my little brother and Stephanie's little sister, and it was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful day. And there was such an amazing spirit of this unity and everyone coming together and working together to make the day so beautiful. And I guess that's one of the reasons that really spurred this whole message was just, I was so inspired by everyone coming together like that and just really celebrating the people coming together and having people come from all over and realizing that that's really what we have every week when we come to church is that family and everyone coming together in that absolutely beautiful spirit that's all unified. So, brethren, if we do these things, if we really strive to get to know one another, if we're open with one another and just really work to build our relationships with one another and pray for one another and help each other grow, support one another, exhort one another, if we do these things, we'll be truly unified. And if we do that, we'll be making absolutely beautiful music, the kind of music that people will see, and they'll know that we really are a unified people that are living God's way of life.